Boomer, real quick on the Rangers. They look like, you could see it already, they look like the soft team that's going to give up so many chances in the playoffs over a game, seven-game series to Kucherov or Crosby and Malkin and guys like that over a seven-game series are going to wear this team down defensively. That you could see it already. And my point, I love the guy, and I was saying at one point he was one of the best Rangers forwards I had seen since Messier. Mika Zibanejad just does not. It just comes and goes so much with him. He looks like the best. He could be the best player on the planet. He doesn't know when to shoot. He doesn't know when to pass. He does one when he should do the other. And in a game like last night, yeah, it's a nothing game against the Flyers. You got to show up.
Yeah, you definitely have to show up. But I'm not going to sit here and criticize Mika Zibanejad. He's been a 200-foot player since he got here, and it's one of the greatest trades the franchise has ever made. And he is a terrific, terrific player. I'm not going to criticize him. I can criticize other players, but I want to see how this season ends. I want to see how these last two games, finish out this season. I want them to finish strong. I want them to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs. And I don't think they're a soft team. I really don't. I know that when Matt Rempe plays, it's a different kind of team. But it's not about retribution tomorrow. It's not about, you know, hammering somebody and getting into fights. What it is about, it's about getting 2 points and imposing your will on a team that imposed their will on you. Now, you skated circles around them in the second and third period and couldn't get the puck past Varlamov to tie the game or to win the game. And I'm sure they're going to see Sorokin tomorrow.
So you're not going to have a line brawl at the beginning of this one on Kids' Day?
It's not about that. If the Rangers had everything locked up, it may have been that. But with the way that they played last night, they may put Rempe in the lineup. I don't know, just because they want to charge up the crowd. It's going to be potentially a sleepy 12:00 game, 12:30 game on ABC. And the Islanders are playing their best hockey of the year right now. So I would just think that Rangers got to come out and play solid hockey and go win the freaking game. And shoot the puck a little bit more in 5-on-5 as opposed to always trying to make the perfect pass. But believe me, there are enough guys that are playing poorly right now, and they know who they are. And I wouldn't say that Mika Zibanejad is one of those.
Frank, St. James, what's going on, Frank?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just going to basically piggyback off of what you guys were just saying there. I really feel that, like, I've been a Ranger fan since 79, man, so I go way back. And it just seems to be the same thing all the time as far as, we always have these teams that we play all right in the regular season, but then the playoffs come and, you know, it becomes a different game. It's a more physical game, and I don't think we have the physical players. I really don't think we have the players.
You're telling me that Vincent Trocheck is not a physical player. You're telling me that I know Kreider can drive us all crazy and frustrate us because we think that he's really good, but I think he ramps up his game in the playoffs. I think Mika Zibanejad is a physical player if he has to be. I mean, Barkley Goodrow is a physical player. Jimmy Vesey has turned into a physical player. I mean, they've had a great season, Frank. They've had two really disappointing losses here, and I don't want to take that and use those losses as an ending of a season that, you know, has been great. I mean, we all should have expectations for this team. You know, that's why they went out and got the players that they got. And I do think that, you know, a guy like Lafreniere has found his game. He's become a completely different player. I wish Kako would be that player. I hope Will Cooley gets his head on straight, and I hope that line starts to produce something as opposed to going out there just skating around in circles. It's about time to go do something. Put pucks in the net. Go get in front of the net. Get physical. And they will. They will. I still believe that this team is a very good team, and they can beat anybody they play. But as we saw last year, the same thing could happen. They could lose to anybody they play.
All right, Boomer and Gio.
Sorokin's got to get hot. Not Sorokin.
Shesterkin's
got to get hot.
It was somewhere around 10:30, 10:40. You get the news that O.J. Simpson dies. He had cancer. It was known that he was ill, but not really that ill where you thought he was going to pass away, but it didn't necessarily come out of nowhere. He had an idea that he was sick, but he is now dead. And of course, most people, I think, understand that he murdered two people. I think there are others that maybe are hanging on to something other than that, but I think reasonable people understand that he was guilty of those murders, even though he wasn't in the court of law. But the thing that really was fascinating to watch is how people were trying to handle this in some other way in the media, as if there was this complicated legacy discussion. No, there isn't. Like, just because he was a good football player doesn't mean it's a complicated legacy. I know we love sports a lot and we really, really enjoy football, but it doesn't matter when it's O.J. Simpson. He killed two people. He was a bad guy. He went to jail after that, too, for something else. I mean, Rex Heuerman, the Long Island serial killer, was a successful architect. Does he have a complicated legacy? No, he's a serial killer. So once you do that and you cross that line, that's who you are. And that's what OJ was. So the family putting out a statement, I can't blame them for saying that, you know, we asked for privacy, whatever. They're going to have to say that. But as far as OJ goes, you know, he was a true American bad guy who is, his life has really woven itself through American history in the last five decades. I mean, and that trial was, it was at that time, and you were, you know, older than me and even got involved in the whole thing because of an interview and the shoes and that whole thing.
And the gloves.
And the gloves, a fascinating story.
Yeah, that was evidence, yeah.
Yeah, as evidence, and you might want to bring that up again if you want to, but it was, it took over everything. I mean, I believe it was 1994, I was 12 years old. I just remember all the teachers talking about it, everybody was talking about it. It sucked the oxygen out of everything else that was going on in America, and it wasn't just a murder trial. I mean, coming off of the LAPD and the riots and Rodney King and all of that stuff, and then the racial side of the trial, it was just a fascinating thing. But
yeah, the buffoon prosecutors, the buffoon judge, God. The whole thing. Yeah. I mean, my sister Robin, God rest her soul, was really, really caught up into it. It was like a total real life soap opera.
Yeah.
And it included two people that were killed and were murdered, and it was ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, there was sympathy towards him for whatever reason. I have no idea why, but he's a murderer. He's gone. World's a better place.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I think what it was, he became a mascot for fighting against the police and the justice system and the fact that he was a black man. And it was just, he was the wrong guy to pick to fight that battle. You know what I'm saying?
Prior to the murder and the trial, he was as privileged as anybody in this country.
Oh, yeah.
He could go anywhere. He could endorse. Like, I would say, and I'm only saying it because he's a black athlete who was maybe ahead of his time a little bit. But, like, today we see, like, Charles Barkley's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Shaq is everywhere.
Sure.
You know, that was OJ before those guys.
Yeah, movies, and commercials,
everything. And he made so much money and got treated with such privilege and was taken care of and was respected as a football player because of his incredible, you know, seasons up in Buffalo. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing complicated. He killed two people.
Exactly.